Let's move now to Aldo. Aldo? Yeah, Aldo. Aldo, you are going to present Astronaut.
So, I will start with the real issue that we have to deal with. The high morbidity and mortality rate of patients hospitalized for heart failure and the vulnerable period. This slide shows an updated mortality rate of patients with hospitalized for acute heart failure, but with a well-known heart failure syndrome. And as you can see, the mortality rate at 1 year is 27.7%. And even more important, and I would focus the attention on this group of patients that are similar to the patient enrolled in trial, the mortality rate of, at 1 year, 27.7, is composed by several mortality rates in the different period of 1 year. In hospital, mortality is about 6%, but the largest part of the mortality is between discharge and 6 months. So this is the so-called vulnerable period in which we have to do something to reduce mortality before the patient becomes the usual patient with chronic heart failure enrolled in trial of chronic heart failure. We have trial conducted here. We have trial conducted here. But actually, we have no trial conducted with an endpoint at 6 months. And this is really the period in which the mortality rate is higher. And the same is true if you consider heart failure hospitalization in general and heart failure hospitalization. In the first 6 months, the rate of hospitalization is really high. So which are the potential beneficial effects of direct renin inhibition in this kind of context? We know that unlike ACE inhibitor and ARBs, the direct renin inhibitor such as Aliskiren reduces also angiotensin 1, angiotensin 2, PRA, and that is, on the contrary, activated in a high circulating level when you use an ARB or an ACE inhibitor. And there are some epidemiological data showing that in patients with heart failure, the high level of PRA are associated with a higher rate of death and cardiovascular event. Further, there are some experimental data in animal models showing that the use of this kind of drug can improve systolic and diastolic function, and there is a change in left ventricular function and cardiac remodeling post-MI. But there are also some clinical data, mainly aloft in chronic heart failure, and the primary endpoint in terms of efficacy of the aloft was the reduction of BNP. And as you can see in aloft, there was a clear reduction in BNP. In the other trial in which there was a reduction in BNP, there was then a favorable effect in terms of mortality and morbidity. This is what we have with Aliskiren in patient with heart failure with this specific condition, but we have no data in patient hospitalized for acute heart failure. So the Astronaut trial in Halov, there was also a clear reduction of the urinary aldosterone levels. That is another encouraging result. So we design the Astronaut in this way. The rationale is that acute heart failure requires urgent treatment on top of the existing therapy. Now we have some good news from relaxin and the relax trial, but we have no efficient treatments for this kind of situation, and the mortality rate is a clear consequence of this lack of good treatments. And this syndrome is associated with high mortality and morbidity, and of course, as a consequence, there is a great economic burden of patient care. And Astronaut will evaluate whether an early initiation of this chronic treatment can delay cardiovascular death and rehospitalization of a failure in the 6 months following the hospitalization for an acute decompensation of patient with chronic heart failure. The design is very simple. The patients are randomized during their hospital stay, and they are randomized to aliskiren, 150 milligram, and they, then up titrated to 300 or to placebo when the patient are stable during the hospital stay. The population are patient hospitalized and stabilized for an episode of ventricular failure with sign of congestion and the story of a pre-existing chronic heart failure with an ejection fraction lower than 40%. The primary endpoint is the time to first event of this combined outcome measure, cardiovascular death or heart failure hospitalization at 6 months after discharge. And the secondary endpoint are to evaluate the first occurrence of cardiovascular death and rehospitalization at the study end, that is at 1 year, and also more for safety reason to evaluate all-cause mortality at 12 months and to assess also the BNP levels at 1 month and 6 months. So this is my last slide. The results are not yet ready. The results of this study will be presented next year at the American College of Cardiology. 1,639 patients have been randomized. It is a number that is a little bit less with respect to the assumption in the protocol, but you know that in the last few months there were some other trials showing no beneficial effect of aliskiren, so the steering committee and the SMB evaluated carefully what happened around the drug and in other clinical conditions, and the decision was to stop recruitment, even if we are a little bit in a lower number of expected patients, but with the trial is in any case powered because the rate of events in terms of all-cause death and 6 months hospitalization is as expected. So it will be possible to evaluate the effect of this drug in a population with a mean age of 65 years. One-fifth of the patients are females. Ischemic etiology is 64%. In 41% of the cases, diabetes is reported. Hypertension in 76% of the cases, atrial fibrillation in 42% of the cases, and the other comorbidities, COPD 20%, renal dysfunction 20%, prior hospitalization 32%, and the mean ejection fraction of this patient is 28%. Now the study is closed, the follow-up is closed as well. The database is under evaluation and the result will be presented next March at the American College of Cardiology meeting. Thank you.
Aldo, very nice presentation, and now you got us all excited. We thought the results were going to come up magically today, but we wait. One of the things that you pointed out nicely, and I want Mike Mihai to comment on this too, is that in your first slide you showed that 6 month mortality in registries is about 20%. In your trial it's 10%, I think, in RELAX HF it's 10 plus 6 divided by 2, I guess it's about 8%. So we're seeing a really an attenuated mortality rate in these trials. What do you think the reason is?
We can comment this differently this way. Registry, of course, include all kind of patient without exclusion criteria. In this case, patient can be enrolled if they were stabilized. For example, blood pressure should be higher than 115. And stable for several hours before the first dose of the drug. So it is a population at high risk, because in any case mortality rate at 6 months of 10% is an high risk, but it is a lower risk of a general population included in a registry.
As the chair of the Astronaut, I think Astronaut is going to introduce a new type of heart failure. The difference between Astronaut and other trials, patients are randomized 6 to 7 days post-admission. Those are patients who are very stable and by design had low risk. Matter of fact, the mean GFR was 67. in spite of having a GFR of 67 and excluding patient hypertension, the event rate moved from 6 months to 12 months. Because if you look at 12 months, you see a very high event, so it's a catch-up phenomenon. So it's not the acute patient, but is the chronic heart failure patient who has worsening, who is stabilized, who appears to be a low risk. And in spite of GFR, we all agree, GFR of 67 and a decent blood pressure, that's not a high-risk patient. So what's amazing about Astronaut, that in spite of this low risk, we had 1,200 rehospitalizations. And if you look at 12-month event, was not as high as Everest, but close to Everest. So we moved the event rate from 6 months. So we have to distinguish between the acute phase. Now, the problem is that, correct me if I'm wrong, at this point in time, and I don't know if Rosano is in the audience, the EMA is not accepting this patient population. And maybe that's the reason for years we did those short-term trials, because EMA, correct me if I'm wrong, is talking about the early management or the late management. So if a company is trying to do a study in patients hospitalized for heart failure, I was told the company is being told that you have to wait a couple of months before we enroll that patient.
Yeah, Mike, maybe I can add something. For the difference between 10% and 20% is many patients died in the first days, and the admission was 6 or 7 days after, the inclusion was 6 or 7 days after admission, and this may account for at least 6, 7, 8% mortality. Okay, other comments before we move on? Yeah.
Well, I have a problem listening to Mike say that they're not high risk. Maybe I didn't hear him right, but somebody with heart failure, even stable heart failure, is at high risk. Somebody with the syndrome of heart failure, reduced ejection fraction, who gets admitted to a hospital and survives, is at very high risk. So, once you deteriorate, you are at high risk.
I'm sorry, what I was referring, it's relative high risk. Among patients that are high risk or hospitalized, 67 GFR plays them at the lower risk. It's all relative. I do agree with you, but compared to other studies, when the GFR was 53 or 30 or the blood pressure was lower, you are selecting those patients with normal renal function who have a very good blood pressure. So in that sense, it's low risk. It's all relative.
So, may I?
Yeah.
Hi, you can see. No, just to answer Mihai about the EMA, I think this is not true. The EMA accept any type of population for whom the drug is intended to be applied in the case that the trial design is properly done. And so in my responsibility as a member of the scientific advice, when we talk with the companies, we still look at the guideline definition of heart failure. We have the heart failure definition of time course, depending on the time course of the disease. And if they are moving for acute phase to chronic heart failure, that it means that it's more than 1 month or less than 1 month stabilized, we really want to know what is the specific population that the trial wants to study. And what we really take the companies is the background therapy should be stabilized. And that may take time to do it, but it's not that we don't accept that population.
May I? If I may, and probably Peter De Graaf, who's here in the room, probably would like also to comment, since he's the chairman of the Working Party on Cardiovascular. Basically, Mihai is right, because in the guidelines there is a gap that if you look at the guidelines for acute heart failure, you tend to recruit patients as soon as possible, preferably within the first 2 days. And then in order to accept patients for chronic studies, you need to have patients who are already stabilized. So there is I think he's right when he says that there is a gap that needs to be filled. And I think it, I don't know whether Peter wants to add anything.
We have a question from Brazil.
This is a worldwide webcast, and this is addressed to Dr. Pena, who will now have to wake up. What do you think about quality of life scores as a component of the primary efficacy endpoint in these types of trials at 6 months?
Well, first of all, that obviously I'm awake, by the way. And I've been awake, and Marco can guarantee that. What instrument are you going to use? I don't think that the instruments that we have now are precisely applicable to a hospitalization, because they ask the questions of comparing themselves to 2 weeks ago, whereas we're asking the patient to compare themselves from the time they came in to the time they get the drug. And if you take the patient from the emergency department waiting room, Dr. Peacock's waiting room, and you put them on a stretcher, the dyspnea got better, and you haven't done anything. So it is so hard to assess these patients that I think we need better instruments, better questions, better tools to really assess how they feel. Because just even the Likert scale, which I like, is still very nonspecific.